Today on Annenberg Radio News.
So I think she just wanted to come out here like everybody else do. They said the South is a good place to be from.
We'll take you to the oldest blues bar in Los Angeles. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, November 24th, 2009. I'm Pete Griffin. Governor Schwarzenegger named Republican State Senator Abel Maldonado as his choice for a lieutenant governor today in East Los Angeles. Maldonado is one of Schwarzenegger's few allies in the legislature. Senate leader Daryl Steinberg expressed his opposition to the pick shortly after it was announced. Maldonado's appointment depends on approval by the legislature. Today, Governor Schwarzenegger said California is one step closer to reducing emissions. Timothy Beckworth has more on the state's controversial strategy in the fight against climate change.
Today, California's Air Resources Board released a draft of the state's greenhouse gas cap and trade system. The program would offer businesses incentives to reduce emissions by forcing them to pay to pollute. But Bill Gallegos, executive director of Communities for a Better Environment, says it's no cause for celebration.
Members of the environmental justice community have a problem with the cap and trade program because the evidence is pretty overwhelming that it's a failure.
Communities for a Better Environment is part of a coalition of environmental groups that opposes the legislation. They believe a cap-and-trade program would actually let the biggest polluters increase their emissions. And Gallego says that will lead to more pollution in the low-income neighborhoods near smokestacks.
You know, when we talk about these vulnerable communities, we're really talking about mainly communities of color. There's a reason for the term environmental racism, because that's what it feels like.
Stanley Young with California's Air Resources Board says they're looking closely at the issue and trying to find solutions.
We are engaged in that process to determine what the baseline is currently so that we will have a very firm idea of what emission limits there are that we cannot exceed.
When the cap and trade program goes into effect in 2012, it will be the first of its kind in the nation. Timothy Beckworth, Annenberg Radio News.
CalPERG and the Children's Hospital of LA are encouraging parents to be careful about the toys they buy for kids this holiday season.
Children under the age of 5 who got sent to emergency rooms, and 19 children died from toy-related injuries.
CalPERG encourages parents to avoid toys with very small parts, as they are the biggest choking hazard. The lines were long, but the music was loud and the sun was shining on more than 1,000 South LA residents waiting for a free turkey dinner. Today was the 22nd year Jackson Limousine Service provided dinners for those in need. Richie Duchamp reports the wait was worth it for many who say this was a tough year.
I need one more box.
Volunteers were moving quickly in Park Mesa Heights this morning. They were trying to get turkey dinner boxes in the hands of hundreds and hundreds of people wrapped around the block. Yvette Swan had been standing in line for about 5 hours, and she was still around the corner from the music and the turkeys. She says it's just been a tough year.
I didn't have the money to go to the store and buy a turkey this year.
How come?
I'm not working. The economy is bad.
Swan was also diagnosed with colon cancer a couple years ago, and frequent doctor appointments keep her from working.
But thank God that the last surgery that I had, the doctor said that they had got it all. So I'm pretty happy about that. But
So for you, plenty to be thankful for this Thanksgiving?
I have a lot to be thankful for, yes.
Unemployment was common in the line for turkeys. Renee Payne says she was a nurse for 23 years before she was laid off 4 months ago.
And my father passed away. They didn't give me bereavement time, and they let me go, and they denied me unemployment.
The single mother of two says she plans on appealing the unemployment decision. The mood was not all grim. The people I talked to said they were thankful and only complaining because I asked. Radio DJs also bumped music while celebrities and politicians helped box and pass out meals to smiling, dancing recipients. Congresswoman Diane Watson represents this part of South LA. I caught up with her passing out a few turkeys.
Today, we're feeding the people. In this bad economic time, they need substance more than ever. And we're just happy to play a small role in feeding the people so they can have a happy Thanksgiving.
Jackson Limousine expects to give out 10,000 Thanksgiving meals today. Richie Duchamp, Annenberg Radio News.
County Supervisor Zev Yaroslavsky announced today that the 7 state parks in the Santa Monica Mountains will stay open for at least this year. The National Park Service awarded a grant of almost $1 million so the popular parks would not be victims of budget cutbacks. Booming Northern California electric car company, Tesla Motors, could be making its way down south. That's if one local mayor's efforts to push an agreement goes through. Jessica Flores has the story.
Tesla Motor makes a $100,000 electric sports car that competes with Porsche and Ferrari on speed. But not a lot of people can afford that car, so now the car company is looking for a site to build a line of more affordable sedans. And if Downey Mayor Mario Guerra gets his way, that site is in the city of Downey.
The city is active in wanting them here, and financially and job-wise, it's a great deal for the city.
The actual site in question is a former NASA plant that spans 80 acres. The city owns 20 acres of the plant, and the private owner's Industrial Realty Group own the rest. The mayor called an emergency city council meeting to approve an agreement with the property owners. Industrial Realty Group could still block the agreement.
You know, the details of the memorandum of understanding I can't give you at this point, but there's obviously things that as a city that we want to do to be able to facilitate that happening.
The former NASA site at one point employed 30,000 people. Now it's a movie studio and houses films such as Spider-Man and G.I. Joe. There is no official statement as to how many jobs Tesla could bring to Southern California, but it's estimated at several thousand. Jessica Flores, Annenberg Radio News.
The L.A. City Council met today to talk about a proposed medical marijuana ordinance. There have been widespread complaints of abuse and crime at the hundreds of dispensaries around the city. Leilani Albano has more.
For months, the L.A. City Council has been discussing how to regulate medical marijuana dispensaries in the city. Today was supposed to be the day they decided on a plan. But all that happened was more talk. First, they heard from advocates and patients who spoke up about the importance of keeping medical marijuana accessible.
I only ask you to get to it soon because there are a lot of us that are in physical pain.
If you think morphate, sulfate adds to the quality of my life, it doesn't. Because there's days I can't get out of bed. And I hope that someone's out there listening.
You know, God gave herbs. As long as it's not abused, it should be used to benefit those that are in need.
California voters passed Prop 215, a controversial law allowing medical pot users with a doctor's note legal access to marijuana. As a result, medical pot dispensaries, up to 1,000, sprung up throughout the city. Some were criticized for having shoddy operations, lax enforcement, and high theft rates at the sites. The council's proposal may include regular audits and inspections, as well as mandatory disclosures of patients' records at LA's 800 dispensaries. Also, Councilman Jose Huizar wants to cap the number of dispensaries at 70. That would equal one medical marijuana facility per 57,000 residents. Don Dunn, California Director for Americans for Safe Access, rejects Huizar's proposal.
We're concerned that that number is too low for the number of patients in the city. But we look at a limit of between 200 and 400 collectives to be a reasonable limit.
But not everyone was pleased with City Council's plans for medical dispensaries. L.A. County District Attorney Steve Cooley said last week he will continue to take legal action against dispensaries that sell medical marijuana, even if council allows such sales. City Attorney Carmen Trutanich has his own proposed ordinance. City Council said today they will consider incorporating some of his ideas in their plan. Despite its problems, AIDS victim Richard Kearns is pleased that lawmakers are committed to keeping the dispensaries open.
They're talking about stuff to keep me alive, and I can support that. I'm thrilled that the dialogue is here now when it seemed like it was going to be shut down.
The City Council will meet again tomorrow and hope to vote on a final plan. Leilani Albano, Annenberg Radio News.
Tonight should be fairly clear with lows in the 50s, and tomorrow will be a sunny one with a high of 81 and strong winds in and below the canyons. Tomorrow night will be mostly clear as well with a low of 52. The Thanksgiving forecast for Thursday calls for sunny skies with highs in the upper 70s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, Labor Secretary Hilda Solis comes to Los Angeles to tour LA's newest job training facilities. Los Angeles is full of hidden gems, little restaurants serving food like they used to, theaters that remind people of Hollywood's golden age, and music clubs like Babes and Ricky's Inn, where reporter Matt Richman filed this report on an old-fashioned house of food and music.
Babes and Ricky's Inn is a blues club. There's a small stage in front, little round tables with paper flower centerpieces, and no windows. Laura Millard runs it now.
Well, it started, I'd say, approximately 52 years ago in Watts, California. My mom, Lyra Mae Gross, owned the club in Watts.
Since then, blues greats like B.B. King, John Lee Hooker, J.J. Bad Boy Jones, and Bobby Bland have played there. Loretta's mom, Lyra Mae Gross, opened the place soon after moving here from Vicksburg, Mississippi.
I guess, you know, just like everybody trying to get from the South. Back then, those days, they was glad to get away from there. So I think she just wanted to come out here like everybody else do. They said the South is a good place to be from.
Everybody calls Laura Mama. On Mondays, the price of admission gets you a soul food buffet and a long parade of musicians dropping by to play. One of them is Earl the Duke Williams. He's a singer, and tonight he's dressed head to toe in electric blue.
Even when they have a show going, if an entertainer recognizes you and think you're good enough to share the stage with them, they don't mind calling you.
But that doesn't mean anything goes at Mama's Club. She kept her business going this long by always running a tight ship. Kept it going even though, up until 12 years ago, they never charged at the door.
She know music just as good as the musicians know. She knows. She know what to do. She know how to tell them if they don't do it right. She know how to tell them to do it the right way.
She was the boss. She was always the boss. Regardless of what you do and how you do it, she had to approve of it.
Lyra Mae passed away in October, but her club can still be found at the corner of 43rd and Leimert Boulevard. And five nights a week, anybody that wanders in can still hear the blues that Mama brought to Los Angeles 50 or so years ago. For Annenberg Radio News, this is Matthew Richmond.
U.S. Secretary of Labor Hilda Solis was in L.A. today to see firsthand what the city is doing to create jobs. She and Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa took a tour of L.A. Trade Tech College. Ariel Edwards-Levy was with them.
Meet some of the people here. You look at them, they look like Los Angeles, and they also look like a big portion of the unemployed.
Mayor Villaraigosa is talking about the students attending L.A. Trade Technical College. Here, classrooms don't mean a blackboard and desks. Instead, students get firsthand experience in areas like construction and car repair, fields that can lead to jobs even in this economy. That's what George Benuelos, who's studying diesel technology, is hoping. He says he's always been interested in cars, but the economy motivated him to learn more specific skills.
This is what the jobs are at right now. I'm trying to see if I get a job at either MTA or probably a truck company or something.
Training centers like the one at LA Trade Tech are part of a national effort to improve education and reduce unemployment. California's Deputy Secretary for Economic Development and Commerce, Brian McGowan, says the two goals go together.
There tends to be a separation between economic development and workforce development that shouldn't exist. The fact is that you're not going to grow your economy, you're not going to attract new businesses or retain businesses without a quality and trained workforce.
In Los Angeles, creating that workforce is crucial. Unemployment is above the national average, and 40% of residents have an eighth grade education or below. But U.S. Labor Secretary Hilda Solis says L.A. is leading the nation in coordinating agencies to confront those problems head on. She especially praised efforts to create green or environmentally friendly jobs.
People ask me, Secretary of Labor, what is a green job? I look in this room and I can see it demonstrated here by hybrid engines, by biofuels. I see it by new techniques and technology that are going to help us reconfigure our workforce for the 21st century.
Solis says the Obama administration believes that innovation and job training needs to come from the regional level. Ariel Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
Today's announcement of $50 million in federal grants for job training programs should give a boost to local training programs. I talked with Don Davis, director of the Electrical Training Institute of Southern California today, about how that institute stands to benefit.
It will add to what we have already in the fact that we can expand our program into apprenticeship preparation. We can expand our program to deal with targeted groups and to some effect disadvantaged or at-risk youth.
So are there any specific communities? You kind of talked about it a little bit just now, but are there any specific communities that you're targeting as far as community outreach for potential workers? I mean, will it be more of a retraining of workers, or will it be for new workers?
Both. Two different programs focused on each of those classifications.
And can you expand on the two different programs?
One program would be an apprenticeship preparation program of probably a duration of, say, 12 to 16 weeks, where we will be taking targeted youth, young men and women, about 30% of our program, and even 10% in at-risk or disadvantaged youth. And then the other program, the second program, would be the retraining of adult electricians who have already achieved and they're certified electricians, and providing them the opportunity to retrain and update their skill set to be more employable.
People talk a lot about green jobs. What are some of the green jobs that your institute trains for specifically?
Okay, specifically. We train for solar electrical production, solar panels. Okay, we train for wind generation, energy production. We train for in regard to the photovoltaic, we train for energy storage, and because that is also an alternate use of energy, is producing energy in, say, the nighttime non-peak, and then using it during peak, during the day. That also is an energy conservation technique. And then, of course, now we're getting into advanced lighting controls, advanced air conditioning controls, and advanced motor controls.
That was Don Davis, director of the Electrical Training Institute of Southern California. Now we check in with Derek to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. How's it going, Derek?
Hey, Pedro. Yes, sir. Yeah, tonight we've got, well, you heard a little bit about it earlier, but we'll show you Schwarzenegger's new lieutenant governor pick, Abel Maldonado. We've also got a new report here that lists some of the most dangerous toys. Black Friday's coming up. A lot of people are going shopping, so we will show you some of those toys, and many of those toys are still on many shelves all across the Southland, all across the nation. So a lot to worry about for parents there. And that's all coming up tonight on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. On Trojan Vision.
Thank you, Derek. That wraps it up for us here today at Annenberg Radio News. And on behalf of producer Matt Richman, we want to wish all of you a happy Thanksgiving, happy Turkey Day, happy everything. That's all on behalf of Matt Richman. Have a good one from all of us here at Annenberg Radio News.